Ever wonder why 95% of leads do not convert? Why cold call rates are down and prospects don't open our emails? Why our responses of robocalls and implanting pixels to track user interaction, mostly without permission, is backfiring spectacularly? Well, that's what we intend to find out here in the Buyerside Chat podcast. There are scores of podcasts about selling, but most miss the shift that has come upon the buying-selling process. The initiative has since moved from the supply to the demand side. The Buyerside Chat, your podcast of record for B2B buying, talks to actual buyers, persons, not personas, in the quest to understand the real buyer's journey, their trials and tribulations, challenges and outcomes they're striving for. Welcome to the Buyerside Chat. Thank you for your time and for joining us on this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give a shout out to each of you in our next episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Today we have with us T.G. Dhandapani, advisor digital transformation and former IT advisor to Sundaram Clayton.
Basically, the design department give what need to be manufactured, how accurately the product need to be manufactured. And the production engineering department decide what should be the type of machinery we need to buy it, whether it is a machinery or a processing plant in terms of paint plant or in terms of welding or in terms of any other chemical treatment plants and other things. The specification given by the design department is very important. Basically, if you call two or three suppliers, all of them will meet the basic requirements. Whatever may be the accuracy, what we are specifying, those accuracies and basic hygiene needs, they will be in a position to meet it. But in order to have long-term gain with the supplier, we have to look at what type of value adds they are giving. When we are talking to two or three suppliers, you know, the type of value adds what they give may vary from supplier A to supplier B. Supplier A will ask, may offer you some three value adds, and supplier B may offer you two value adds, which will be totally independent of what has been offered by the supplier A. Most of the negotiation is taking place around this. Commercial negotiation is the last one. You can always win over, bulldoze it.
T.G. Dhandapani is commerce graduate from D.G. Vaishnav College, member of Institute of Chartered Accountants of India, financial controller in Sundaram Clayton and TVS Motor, handled manufacturing plant execution project, headed business planning and a business center, and in IT as group CIO. During his tenure, TVS Motor Company was awarded SAP ACE in 5 consecutive years from 2007 to 2012. He is CIO 100 awardee for 4 consecutive years from 2008 to 11, recipient of Super Achiever Award in 2012 and recipient of Global CIO Award by Information Week in 2011. He has been acknowledged by CIO Association of India as top 3 best CIOs in India of 2013 and top 2 best CIOs in 2014. Now, on to this insightful episode with T.G. Dhandapani. Mr. Dhandapani, I'm delighted to have you in the Buyerside Chat. Welcome to the show. To start with, please tell a bit about your background so our listeners get a context of why I'm having you and how you will help us demystify the Buyerside process.
Good morning. I am very happy to get connected to you, Mr. I am very happy to share my experience of by a little about my background that I have retired as a group information officer from TVS Motors, and I retired a couple of years back, and I have been doing my consultancy on IT digital. I am a freelance consultant. In my services, I have served in finance department. I am a chartered accountant. I was a financial controller in TVS, one of the units, for about 15 years. I have been in business planning. I was in shop floor. I was managing production, and I was profit center head. And I also part of the member who started 500,000 two-wheeler project in Mysore. And we created the project from the green field, established all facilities and ran the plant for 1 year and handed over. Later, I moved to IIT and the last 20 years I spent it. This is my brief background. I had 38 years of experience in TVS. Before that one, I briefly worked in Steel Authority of India, Salem Steel for any. Basically, I have the experience of doing the purchasing. I was one of the early members from finance to represent buying activities, also the selling activities as a finance person. We used to go there and do the negotiations and buy, and the negotiation includes both with the purchasers as a purchasing function as well as on the selling function. I have been also involved in the project. I said that it's half a million two-wheeler plant creation project. I was responsible for finalizing the pricing for all the plant and machineries and other facilities, as well as I was responsible for fixing the pricing for direct material. Later, I moved to IT and I was made in charge of entire IT policy creation and also creation and execution. I was made responsible for about 15 companies in TVS, including TVS Motor.
Mr. Thandapani, you mentioned that you were responsible for the entire purchase process for setting up this plant, which produced half a million motor bikes in Mysore. What would you say was the total purchase bill for setting up this entire plant?
For facility creation, including the plant and machinery, it would be around 150 in the year 1998. And for the direct material, the annual purchase will be ranging from 800 crores to
1,000. Wow, that's a lot. That at that point of time, I would imagine it will be about like $200 million.
Correct.
So we were talking about how you have seen this entire procurement process, both for non-tech as well as tech. How the buyer and the procurement departments and the actual users, how this entire process has evolved over the last 25 years that you are referring to.
Basically, for non-IT procurement, the necessity is created either by creation of new facilities or for replacement or for it. For creation of new facilities, you know, you may have to look at everything from the scratch, okay, right from procuring the, identifying the land and procuring that particular land and buying all types of machineries which are required. And different facilities that need to be created for the running the. Therefore, know that every item, the challenge will be different from one to another. Company will, any organization will have their own philosophy and also have their own policy in procuring type of centuries. Okay. Therefore, identification of land has got a different experience and procurement of machinery is a different experience. Coming to the procurement of machinery, which is constantly you may have to expand and you may have to replace and also do the expansion. Basically, though, that the facility creating department, the technical department, the production engineering department, they decide for what capacity we are going to create the plant and what type of machineries we need to procure. The entire bill of material is also created at that particular time. Basically, the design department give what need to be manufactured, how accurately the product need to be manufactured. And the production engineering department decide what should be the type of machinery we need to buy it, whether it is a machinery or a processing plant in terms of paint plant or in terms of welding or in terms of any other chemical treatment plants and other things. The specification given by the design department is very important. Basically, if you call two or three suppliers, all of them will meet the basic requirements. whatever may be the accuracy what we are specifying, those accuracies and basic hygiene needs, they will be in a position to meet it. But in order to have long-term gain with the supplier, we have to look at what type of value adds they are giving. When we are talking to two or three suppliers, you know, the type of value adds what they give may vary from supplier A to supplier B. Supplier A will ask, may offer you some three value adds, and supplier B may offer you two value adds, which will be totally independent of what has been supplied, I mean, offered by the supplier A. Similarly, supplier C will give two more value adds, which will be totally independent from what was offered by supplier A and supplier B. Then you have to decide out of all three value adds which has been offered, you may have to choose which is the best suitable for you and decide, let us say that three of value adds are very important for you in that order. And then you may have to negotiate with all the suppliers such that you know you get the best value adds what you need from one supplier. At the end of the day, you are going to choose only one supplier.
Right.
Most of the negotiation is taking place around this. Commercial negotiation is the last one. You can always win over, bulldoze it, or get convinced and go ahead for purchasing. So most of the time, the negotiation is happening only to decide what type of value adds or better services provided by the vendor, and identifying those value adds and putting it in the basket of one of the vendors offering and get the best out of it. That is where the negotiation and the buying pattern used to happen in those days.
Right. If I can ask you to unpack that a bit, can you explain a little more in detail, say for, and you can take anything, either the paint plant or the welding plant or any of the plants, what kind of value adds are each of these vendors sort of offering, and are they, I mean, is it possible that the value adds that vendor C is offering can be also provided by vendor A?
See, basically, if you look at it, let us take a paint plant. The paint plant is generally what you are worried about is in order to economize the cost, you know, operating cost, you will be looking at the transfer efficiency. Somebody will be offering, you may be expecting about transfer efficiency of, let us say, about 75% or 80%.
Okay.
And everybody will be offering around 74 to 82, and they will also promise and they will also guarantee the transfer efficiency, provided the environmental situations are kept in a particular position.
Right.
This is the basic necessity. This is the hygiene factor. Transfer efficiency is the hygiene factor. And then we may have to look for, to achieve this transfer efficiency, and the value add is coming in the form of, let us say that, what speed you will be in a position to get the produce. Somebody will be offering, okay, 10 sets per hour, somebody will be offering 11 sets per hour, somebody will be offering 9 sets per hour. Therefore, we may have to choose which is more productive, okay?
Right.
Which facility is much more productive. This is one type of value adds. And another thing, you know, that when the product itself, over a period of time, the paint plant is all established for about 25 years and 30 years. Okay, what type of value adds they give? Over a period of time, they are in a position to upgrade the technology from time to time.
Right.
Because the paint composition will also change, and paint, the basic requirement for the paint will also change. The paint equipment should be in a position to answer to the developments which are taking place in the paint industry. Therefore, the guy, the vendor should be in a position to offer you up-to-date adoption of technology. This is another type of value add.
Right.
The third value add, what I can think of is the maintenance. Okay, how consistently he is in a position to give you the uptime, nearly about 99.99%. Okay,
right.
How easily he is in a position to give, what type of guarantee he gives, to what extent he will be in a position to handhold you over a period of time. This is another type of value add.
Right.
Okay? Not that every vendor will be in a position to give you all value adds together, but somebody will be specialized in some particular area and they will be in a position to offer it. But how to get the other one which is not available with him, which has been offered by another vendor from vendor A, is more important for us.
when you are talking of this plant, how many times were you dealing with multinational vendors and how many were completely indigenous?
Predominantly, they are all multinational vendors only.
Okay.
These type of high value equipment, and we will be going in for multinational vendors only.
Right.
These people and all know that since they will be all doing it for MNC car manufacturers or MNC other facility manufacturers, that the fit and finish is very important. Okay.
Right.
So they will be in a position to offer you this value adds what you need.
Right. How many times in your process will you ask them to provide you with references where you can talk to their existing customers? So finally, when you're looking at somebody servicing you across technologies, like you mentioned, as the pen technologies changes, these people should be agile enough to upgrade their own technology to suit that. And so on. So do you, in your process, would you ask them for references where you will actually go and talk to customers they have been dealing with over, say, 5 or 10 years?
Exactly. We see, when they do the sales pitch itself, they will be telling that we are serving this type of customers. Okay. Mm. Immediately, we also get in touch with them. And many cases, you know, that in manufacturing industry, one advantage is that you get the people from many parts of industry. Okay, they will be joining your particular team.
Hmm.
Number one, their experience about this particular vendor, predominantly that adds a lot of value. And another one is we also get the customer references. Customer references includes talking to him over phone or visiting their plants and talking to the grassroots level people who matters, you know, and talking to them and gaining their experience also matters a lot there. Some cases, you know, where that the proof of concept can be seen only after you install the plant.
Hmm.
Okay. In those cases, we get the customer references and gain confidence within ourselves.
Right.
Plant visit, customer call, technical reports, all those things matters a lot in deciding the particular vendor.
Right. Can you put importance, like in percentage, how much is the technology, how much is the existing customer reference, and how much is the commercial? Finally, how will you weigh it in a decision?
That it depends on the case. I cannot give, there is no single silver bullet for this particular question. It is depending upon the context. Suppose if your operating cost is going to be reduced, let us say that 20% reduction in the operating cost, if somebody is asking for 20% premium or 40% premium, I will jolly well pay that 40% premium and get the 20% operating cost because it is going to sustain over period of decades.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
2 decades, 3 decades, like that. Therefore, it is all depending upon the context.
Okay.
Sure. Predominantly, we look at it, you know, that technology stability of the vendor and to what extent he will be in a position to serve you over a period of time. Many times, you know, in the organization where I have worked, third generation of the vendor is working with the third generation of the entrepreneurs here.
Mm-hmm.
That type of relationship we build it.
Mm.
Okay. Therefore, we also see the vendor not for the one-time vendor and who can live with you, who can co-create innovations with you. That type of vendors are generally preferred. Therefore, we look for the long-term relationship with that vendor. And long time technical inputs, how you get it, long time cost reduction, how you are going to get it, long time quality continuous improvement, how you are going to make it, all those things matter a lot.
When you are looking at vendors for the first time, see, if you already know a vendor and the vendor has already supplied you a plant in the past, you have worked with them for the last 15 years, they will always have an edge unless their technology is outdated. They will have an edge with you because you know them as a customer, you know how they behave with you as a supplier and so on. But when you are buying something new, you are bringing in new technologies and you don't have existing relationships to fall back upon, How do you actually determine these factors, that are they good enough to have long-term relationship? Will they be able to stand by? What goes into that decision-making process?
Every organization, you know, all major organizations will have their vendor development team. Hmm. The vendor development team gets into the both financials and the business background of the vendor, and also the customers, what they are having it. They do a lot of research upfront, okay, that especially for the paint plant kind of vendors, you know. That vendor development team does a lot of homework in creating, collecting more and more information about the vendor until you get fully satisfied. Always, creating a new vendor is both an opportunity as well as a risk. If you are getting a very good vendor, it's like a marriage. Okay, so you may have to take appropriate risk and accordingly behave yourself over a period of time. And you get the best output from your vendor, and you can also give a good business to your vendor. It's a risk. You may have to do a lot of homework before that one. The homework include the kind of desk research, what you do, customer references, and going to the customer and talking to them and talking to different levels of customers organization. Okay, it's not adequate that if you talk to only a buying department. Actually, you may have to go and meet the user, ultimate user, who is using the facilities of that particular vendor to gain correct information. Therefore, talking to them more and more and talking to other vendors about this guy also sometimes it helps. Okay, not always. Sometimes it helps, and to gain maximum confidence from the vendor. It's a experienced process. Basically, it is a structured process as well. Okay, you gain a lot of things out of talking to them and getting more and more data and studying more and more their technical publications and also their customer experiences.
So you have a vendor development team which is already trying to scout for appropriate vendors as your requirements are likely to come up in your plan in your planned process, and these people are responsible in ensuring that there is a fit, there is a cultural fit, there is a philosophical fit, and obviously there is a financial fit. What else have you seen change between the procurer, because the role of procurement in the past was essentially to negotiate the price. That was the traditional role of procurement, right? So how have you seen that role change, and how have you seen other end user coming into a bigger sort of say in the decision making?
That's true. That previously, you know, there are certain items, you know, where you will not be in a position to talk to them on technology platform, and the vendor is too big a person than you. That type of situation will be also there. As you go ahead and get some discounts, and predominantly the discussion will be around the commercial aspect only.
Right.
But that type of buying is very, very low. See, maybe about 2 to 3% of your buying, or maximum up to 5% of the buying will be of that sort, where you don't have any other say to discuss about the technology to the vendor. Because he is too big a person, and he may not be in a position to customize your requirement in this particular product, let's say. That type of situation, you know, it's like, you know, 25 years back, if you want to go and buy a car. Okay, in 70s, if you want to go buy a car in India, that you have got, you had only two choices, Premier, Bermini, and Ambassador, that's all. Okay,
right.
In 70s, if you have got to go and buy. There, you cannot go and say, when the waiting period itself is about 6 months or 10 months, you know, you cannot go and tell him that what color you want.
Right.
Only after buying, you can go ahead and change the color. Okay, that is the only thing you can do. That was the situation, but today the situation has changed a lot. There are three types of requirements, okay, whenever you do the buying it. One is that the basic hygiene requirement. The hygiene requirement in the sense that whether it meets, car means it should start, okay, it should run, it should apply brake, okay. That type of basic requirement. Then you look at for certain operations benefit creating features, okay. Whether it increases the productivity in your organization, whether it increases the quality in your organization, whether it brings the ease of operation, adaptability, and also whenever you are changing the products, whether you are in the position to make use of the same facility for making new products, okay. That type of flexibility. Those things are all operating operations convenience creating elements. And the third one is the strategic thing. Okay, sometimes you know when you say that you hold it, that brings a lot of prestige to the organization and also improves the image of that particular organization. Okay, but predominantly, if you look at it, 30% everybody will be meeting that hygiene requirement. Okay, so therefore, in 70s and 80s, when you had no other choice, you will be looking for only the hygiene requirements. Okay, and the more availabilities are there, the buyers started looking for, okay, what is that I am going to gain by buying it from you?
Right.
How my productivity is going to get increased? How my cost is going to get reduced? How my quality is going to get improved? How it is going to ease my life? Okay, on day-to-day, daily work management activities, how it is going to help me out? That is what the people started looking for. And nowadays, people look for, okay, when I have that particular project, okay, I can have, I don't have any problem at all. Okay, I can concentrate on that one. As and when you upgrade it, you will come and fix it here. Okay, it's like an Apple product. Okay, you buy it now. Okay, over a period of time, whatever maybe the version changes, you know, they will be in a position to adapt it to the product what you have already bought it. There is a protection of the investment. And that is a added features what they have brought in also. Now people are looking for the value-added facilities also that and also the features that are bringing certain strategic intent, initiatives that could be brought into your organization by bringing that facilities or a product.
So obviously the hygiene factors, these decisions are much faster, smoother, and the processes are more or less in place. There is nothing, no discovery happening there, right?
Correct.
But for both the other two, and specifically the strategic decisions that we want to invest in X to improve our productivity or lower our cost, or this is our 3-year plan that we are going to reduce energy consumption by so much, and that will impact every single facet of your plant. At what point in each of these cases does a vendor actually get an entry in the decision-making process? So, for example, if you're thinking of a strategic initiative which will unfold over the next 2 or 3 years, and your end result is to be visible in 3 years' time, when do you actually see talking to vendors?
If the investment is quite high, we will start talking on the first day itself.
Okay.
It is all depending upon the size of the investment and the stake of your organization on that investment that matters. Okay. If your stake on that investment in your organization is quite high, let us say, based on which you are going to run that particular organization for next 3 years or 4 years, for next 5 years or 10 years, then that stake is very important. Right up front, you may have to discuss about it. Because hygiene matters, everybody will be in a position to meet it. Okay, that is taken for granted. Okay, the value add and the strategic intent is very important. Value add brings some frills of some benefits, what you can get, like low-hanging fruits, which you will be in a position to gain it in 2 to 3 years' time. And that is a very important factor. And more importantly, okay, over a period of time, see, if you look at it, if it is going to reduce the power cost in the next 10 years, let us say, or even the tool cost. Let us say that if they guarantee that tooling cost is very important in manufacturing, okay? Therefore, if they promise that over a period of time, they will also do the innovation and bring new set of tools such that your consumable cost over a period of time, year on year, will get reduced by 10%. Okay, that type of discussion is going on today. Okay, will you give 10% or will you give 15% or will you give 5%? Okay, the number is around that one, not on whether you will do it or not.
Okay. Right.
That type of discussion, the maturity has taken place in the market today.
It's time for a short break. Mr. Dhandapani was explaining how sophisticated negotiations have become in large purchase decisions, with commitment to value delivery being mapped over years. I asked him from his point of view, what were the sellers getting wrong? Stay with us.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Right before the break, I asked Mr. Dhandapani, what are B2B salespeople doing wrong? Let's find out.
What, according to you, are the sellers doing wrong when they're approaching these kind of large opportunities? What is it that they're getting wrong?
See, having experience in this particular area, when I come to IT, one thing I have, there are two or three mistakes they are doing it when it comes to technology buying it. Number one, you know, they come and the first ask the embarrassing question that, what is your budget for this? Okay. That is absolutely wrong. Okay. They always think that, the organization is driven by the budget only. Okay, but organization is not always driven by the budget. Okay, for financial discipline, you need to have a budget. But no financial controller will say that if that particular investment is going to give you 20% return year on year, no financial controller is going to say no to that one. Okay, he will create a non-budgeted sanction for that one and he will love and have it. It is all depending upon the value add what you are creating it. Having said that one, one thing what they are asking is, what is your budget? That is one mistake they are doing it. And second thing, the mistake what I have seen it in IT industry, that the IT procurement is that they come and ask for what is your problem? Okay. What is your business problem? See, predominantly, the people working in an organization, they are also from the same reputed schools. Okay, they are from same IITs or they are from same IIMs and they are from many reputed institutions. They have also studied abroad and come over here. Okay, that if they know the problem, they would have solved it yesterday. Okay, many times, you know, they don't know what their problem is. Okay, if they know the problem, they would have solved it yesterday itself. Having said that one, if you are in the position to identify, how to identify that particular problem, and by doing certain benchmarking and more discussion, that will be also nice. Okay, you cannot, the vendors come and ask you, what is your business problem? Okay, that is number two mistake they are doing it.
If there is a problem and that's not fully stated, how is a vendor supposed to A, understand that they have to understand the problem and articulate it? How does that happen according to you?
See, what we are asking for at the time, you know, if at all you go and ask the any user, you know, whether it is an IT user or any other facility user, if you go and tell the problem, you know, he will tell about the problem what has occurred yesterday. he will not be in a position to tell. So in early, in late 90s and 2000, when I gone in for IT, and I went and asked the users, what exactly you are expecting from the IT department. They said, give me one more printer. Okay. If I give one more printer, they are very happy about it. Replace the cartridge much more frequently. That's what they say. If you replace the cartridges in the printer, they are happy about it. Okay. Their level of problem at that particular point of time is only that. Okay. So what we say, we ask the vendor is that they give me the case studies, how you have enhanced the value in other organizations or how you try to enhance the value in my organization. Okay. We ask them to give more and more case studies for them. Unfortunately, most of the people, even today, for the latest modern technology, even if you call it for SAP HANA and that type of area, still they are talking about all processing-related KRAs only. See, for example, I will be in a position to reduce the MRP running time from 2 days to 2 hours, okay? And they will say that the costing closure, monthly costing closure, from 2 days I will reduce it to 2 hours or 3 hours. Okay, that IT guy may not be in a position to go and tell the management or the decision makers or the financial controllers. So they cannot go and tell them that MRP has been taking 2 hours or 2 days or he will get surprised. Have you been running the MRP for two days? Okay, they will get shock of their life and say that what a poor system we have been having it. Okay. See, when it comes to high technology items, the people should concentrate on the value that brings to the top management first and the value that brought to the middle management next and the value that brings to the actual user who is on the shop floor. Okay. They should be in a position to address the needs of all levels of people in the organization at a particular point of time. If they are in a position to do it, they can do a better winning in an organization. Unfortunately, even in the very high-tech buying, say, for example, SAP HANA, when they want to give the services or sell the product, they target on procure to pay process. I will improve it. I will improve the procure to pay. Top management is not at all worried about it. Okay, and they come and say that if you, by implementing SAP HANA, you will reduce your MRP running time from 8 hours to 2 hours. So who is bothered about it? Anyway, MRP is running overnight, where the big business transactions are not taking place. They are not at all worried about it. See, what is relevant to them, what is making them, what brings them wow factor at their level, that matters. Okay? If you go and tell the top management, these are all the ways you can identify your customers. These are all the ways you can go closer to your customers. These are all the ways you can identify where you are not selling, and they will be thrilled about it. Okay? And if you go and tell them about, I will improve the GR processing time, goods receipt processing time, from 2 minutes to 1.5 minutes, they will be least bothered about it. Okay, so they have to also worry, from 2 minutes, if it is reduced to 1.5 minutes, what to do with that half a minute? Okay. Is he going to look at WhatsApp and the FB at that particular time? Or how am I going to productively make use of that particular time which is saved? Okay. So these are all the things will be going in the minds of the people who are making the decision. Therefore, three levels of people there, at the very highest level and middle level and the operating level. So any vendor should be in a position to bring the KRAs that will improve at all three levels.
Right.
Then only people will get convinced and they will get in for that particular product.
Right. This is a great point, because I want to also understand from you, who is the vendor actually talking to? The vendor is talking to procurement, but the vendor has to now educate the procurement that, look, this is the benefit for your top management. This is how it will benefit your middle management in the process, and this is how the end users will benefit. Is that how it works, or are they actually trying to talk to the top management and the middle management and the end user?
It depends, you know. Some vendors, you know, some vendors, they hit only IT department only. Okay, they go to IT department and talk to them, and IT people, you know, generally they don't have any, unless they have, okay, unless they have very close contact with the business users, they will not be in a position to articulate what they require it out of business or from business. Okay.
Right.
They will not be in a position to articulate. Generally, for big buying, there will be a committee. Okay. There will be a committee in the organization. The committee will be represented by the person who is going to actually use it. That is the production department. The guy who is going to maintain it. That is the maintenance department. Or the guy who is going to commercially discuss. That is the purchasing department. And also that if it is the IT buying, you know, IT department is also involved. There will be a committee on the people who will be discussing on these particular matters. Okay, so by the vendor should be in a position to anticipate the need. What type of questions will come? What type of need will be there for that particular person in that function? Okay, accordingly, he has to do the homework and go with the input.
So you are at this point in time talking to multiple vendors, right? You are not talking to only one person. You're not talking to one organization. How is that actually getting analyzed and broken down by the buyer? Okay, vendor A is telling this, vendor B is telling this, vendor C is telling this. Okay, this is how we are going to progress between the three. How does that part work?
See, basically it is decided by the need. Your organization has decided this is what I need. Okay, this is what I need. Why I need this one? Either to create a capacity or to do the replacement or to do the enhancement or with certain improvements in mind. Okay. I have that improvement in mind. Let me take the improvement is that I want to digitize the shop floor. Okay. I want to digitize the shop floor such that my quality is improved, my cost is reduced, and my productivity has improved. Some targets they will be fixing it. Okay, I have to improve my quality from reject from let us say 5,000 parts per million to 300 parts per million. That type of target they will be having it. And similarly, in terms of productivity increase, you know, I have to increase the shift production from 5,000 to 8,000. Like that, they will be having certain targets. Whether they are in a position to meet that one, that is what predominantly will be working in the minds of the buyer. How they are going to, whether they mean it or they have, they are telling it only as a selling promise, or it is really possible. Okay, that is the big decision making as is the responsibility of the committee which is working on that one. Okay, to assess their promise, whether it is right one, achievable one, even if it is achieved 90%, is it going to make a big difference in your organization? That is what they will be looking for.
So that brings me to another point. In this process, how many times are you discussing it with your colleagues in other companies, like heads of procurements, heads of IT, in other companies, who are your friends, who are in your professional circle? How many times do you discuss, hey, I mean, these are the three guys who have come. Can you give me some inputs? Or these are the technologies they're talking of. Do you have any idea? Have you used this and so on? Are you talking to your peer group for guidance?
See, when it comes to IT procurement, the CIOs who are responsible for buying that IT facility, be it services or the products or the licenses or otherwise, predominantly their knowledge, they get it from, say, about 50% of the knowledge is coming from networking with the peer group. Even in the competition, the people used to rub shoulders with the competition, the guy in that particular place, and discuss with him at ease. And about the market, about the technology, about the benefit it brings on the table, whether it is only a word of promise they make and actually they are sincere in getting it done. Okay, that type of knowledge about the technology and other things are happening only with the network networking, what they do it with the peers group. There are a lot of CAO association and other things are all helping in that one. And the 30% of the knowledge, they get it from the technical literature, their publications and other things, customers' experience sharing. There are a lot of technical magazines that are available. They go through their case studies and understand. Okay, most of the buying, you know, that most of the decisions are not taken at the time of buying. These are all the experiences will be in the heads of the CAOs, which is developed over a period of time. Okay, and when the necessity arises, you know, they are in a position to take the decisions much more faster. Okay, technical magazines play very important. About 30% of the knowledge CAOs get it from the technical magazines.
Okay.
And 20% of the knowledge, they are getting it from the vendor. Okay, that is also quite substantial and very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are talking to more than one particular vendor, you gain more knowledge from them. Okay, networking is very important, and technical documentation, and the vendor who is also continuously coming and educating to you, whether to sell it or not, they come and talk to you many times.
So would you be able to share a story of a vendor who did something and got an order which was out of the ordinary?
That was in early 2008, if I remember right, you know, that Microsoft used to come and sell the products. Okay, every year they will be having these MNCs are all driven by the numbers. And they will be always having the sales target, you know. And they will be always hitting at the high volume buyers, okay. And they will come and every year ask us, you know, why don't you buy few more licenses, like that, okay. At one particular point of time, I was really got worried, you know, why they are coming. And saying no, you know, it's very, very difficult. They are all your friends, colleagues. And the people, they are rising to the occasion when you are in need for them. Okay, so telling no is very, very difficult. Half of the time, we used to say that finance, there is no budget for that one. It is half I, half lie. And you say that the financial controller has not approved that one. That is another lie we used to say and get away from that one. But every year, you will not be in a position to tell. Basically, what it means, there is no necessity, okay?
Yeah.
There is no need. The need is created. Only when the need is created, you will be after them, okay? When
right.
there is a need, there are 100 more people have joined in the middle management, you have to provide them facility means, then you will be after them and get it done within a week's time, get it done yesterday. That type of language you will be talking to them, okay? Then there is no need when they come and ask us, we will get totally embarrassed. At the time, we went and asked them, okay, we told them, okay, every year you come and ask us, do you know that how much I am in the, how much of the functionality in Microsoft products our people are using it? They were really surprised. They asked me, they may be using it 40%, 60%, 70% like that, as if it is a capacity utilization of a well-run organization, okay. So I said that it is not at all. The number of functionalities what they are using is about 4%. Okay, the same functionality they are using it, so rest of the 96% of the functionalities, most of them are not at all aware. Okay. If you come and have create a awareness program here and tell them what all the functionalities are available, how they can change their working pattern, how they can improve themselves over a period of time, okay, that would be very nice. Then I told them, this is what the challenge I gave it to them. Then they brought a very good expert from the market on my software. If I remember name, he is Dr. Paranj Pai, he's a gynecologist, you know, they brought them. And he had a one-day session with us, okay, and said that how we are using Microsoft Basic Excel, how it can be used better. Okay, that everybody got thrilled about it, okay? And the operating people got thrilled, the analysts got thrilled, the top management also got thrilled. They used to be, once upon a time, you know, even the letter used to be typed in the Excel and the printout used to be taken to send it up, okay? They never knew that such a big functionalities are available in the world because they are not quite conversant with that one. There is no systematic education which was given to the users, okay? That's why this problem occurred. Then we told them that you come and explain to us okay, how you can make use of the product, what all the functionalities are available, how those functionalities can be made use of. If you create that type of situation, they will love to use your product more and they will buy your product more. And on that year, you know, the moment they started using it, some of the functionalities, VLOOKUP, I'm talking about the early 2000s, okay, that functionalities and all, they were not at all aware of it. It is used left, right, and center. And they were quite thrilled about it. And they asked for, I want to give it to some more people. I want 100 more licenses or 200 more licenses. Okay, they came and to sell me only 50. I wanted 200 by creating such a necessity here.
Right.
Okay, this is one thing they have to understand, and they have to also move very closely with the organization and understand their need. Most of the persons, you know, IT sellers, they think that every organization is like IT and IT is company. Okay. In manufacturing, you know, IT users will be only about 20% or 25%. Most of the users will be using only nut runners, panels, and building machines and other things only. Okay, they will be thinking, if you have got 20,000 people, I can sell you 20,000 Microsoft licenses. It's not like that.
Right.
Okay. So, very closely shadowing the organization and closely understanding the needs of the organization is very important in selling it better. Otherwise, you know, you come during the quarter end to meet the targets and to give certain discount. And based on that, like Amazon sale, you know, which is happening now, they have to come and sell, okay, offering certain discount. And some people will buy it just because some budget is available, even though the necessity is not there, need is not there. They will buy next year requirement now itself because of the discount which has been offered. But that is not healthy. That type of system is not healthy because consistently you will not be in a position to grow in that particular way. So understand the customer needs, help them to do it better, and create your own demand at the customer's place, and you can sell more.
The Buyer Side Chat is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink enables high-quality interactions between buyers and sellers through presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create personalized sales presentations and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversation. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 650-847-5884. That is 650-847-5884.
Wonderful. That was a great talk. I really appreciate your being open and sharing it in such detail. In fact, what I am tempted to say is that I have to come back and discuss with you a little more in one of the future shows, a little more depth and little more, you know, digging into the manufacturing, because you have a vast knowledge how the manufacturing industry goes through the buying process. Mr. Dhandapani, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next episode is an in-depth conversation with Brish Van Vaidya, Head of Strategic Sourcing and Supply Chain Asia-Pacific of Uber.
When we talk about the risk evaluation, it is the financial risk, it's the commercial risk, it's the technical risk, operational risk, legal risk. All these risks need to be considered when a particular deal is being, you know, evaluated. I mean, just getting a price from someone which is better than other does not help. The concept of total cost of ownership is something which does come into play, which, you know, a seller must know. A seller has to understand that there is a cost of transition also, right, from one supplier to another. So if they think that the buyer is buying something at $100 and I can give, you know, 5% benefit to him, they need to realize to get that 5%, it should not happen that the buyer has to spend additional 10% because there is a transition cost.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes unraveling in depth how the real buyers buy. Stay tuned. Thank you for being with us today on the Buyer Side Chat. This is the podcast of record for the buyer side journey. And those who know, that's the journey that matters. We hope this conversation helped you with insights that you can go and apply right now to your own value transaction process. See you in the next episode of the Buyer Side Chat.